The topic is banquet. As you are well aware, it's just around the corner. And no doubt by now, many of the preparations that have been planned have been completed and are all taken care of. And at this point, many of the annual questions have been answered. Where will it take place? At what time will the pictures begin? 5:03, I understand. And who is going with whom? I have an additional banquet-related question. With whom is Jesus going? He does have banquet plans, after all. And those banquet plans, as well as the identity of his companion, are revealed in the text for this morning, Revelation 19, verses 6 through 9. The Apostle John speaking, "I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said to me, Write, blessed are they who are called to the marriage banquet of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. Several weeks ago, the invitations for the 2018 banquet were distributed, and everyone in the campus community was invited to attend. Just as the invitation of the Lord to his great feast has gone out to all people, every single person on the face of the earth has been invited by God to come and be his guest, even more, to be his companion. For a person can gain entry into the greatest of events only if one is a companion of Christ. At our school banquet, of course, everyone has the option of attending either individually or with someone else. Either is fine. But it's only through an association with Jesus that one can get into the great heavenly event in paradise, which is why the Lord makes himself available to all. Come, all you who, the Lord says. Jesus encourages every human being to be his companion for this heavenly event. Strange that not many people are. Sad that so many refuse, because that is the natural response of a fallen human heart. The normal RSVP to Jesus' invitation is that of resisting salvation very persistently. There's a strong negative reaction by nature to God the Father and God the Son, even though they plan for us and want us to enjoy only the very greatest and best of events. Man by nature wouldn't be caught dead spending eternity with Jesus. And yet a person is spiritually dead if he or she is not connected to Christ. The eternal banquet is also different from ILCs with respect to optional alternatives. A person might opt to do something else on Saturday night and life goes on. It's not necessary. There are other things that can be done. But not so with the banquet of the Son. Those who are not present with him will be cast out and confined. It will be something akin to being eternally damned, or even worse, eternally doomed. Jesus spoke about being cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so it is a very fortunate thing that the Lord not only invites people to partake of his heavenly banquet, the eternal feast, but also enables individuals to accept the invitation. Our text speaks of those who will be present as those who are called. And that's the same word that the Apostle Paul uses in Romans, when he speaks about those whom God did predestinate, them he also called, and those whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. The Lord has to change our natural thinking about him around to recognize him as the greatest of all blessings and as the one who is alone able to satisfy every spiritual need. This spirit produced faith then joyfully responds to the invitation and looks forward to the event soon to commence. Now, in order to help us understand the emotion which Christ feels toward his companion, the Bible here and elsewhere does an interesting thing. It refers to all believers collectively as a single unit, the church, and refers to Christ's church as his bride. It says his wife has made herself ready. And then it likens this heavenly banquet to a wedding feast. Whereas the relationship between a lady and gentleman at ILC's banquet is very often nothing more than that of two friends, the feeling which Jesus has for his companion is much, much more. It's the groom's perfect love for his bride, and how that love shows. He goes way beyond a few flowers as that which he presents to his bride for adornment. We are told, to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Jesus is a perfectionist. He demands that everything be exactly perfect, and so he provides for his church perfect spiritual garments, perfect spiritual apparel. His righteousness, that which he acquired, as you know, not with silver or gold, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. God imputes Christ's own perfect record to us so that we can stand in the presence of the holy God and enjoy eternal bliss with him. Enjoyment, after all, is one of the main objectives. ILC's banquet is designed to provide a good time. So also, the Lord's big event is designed to produce one great eternity. Contrary to worldly propaganda, with his inaccurate images of bored people strumming harps in heaven, the devil tries to portray paradise as an uninteresting and unfulfilling place. Nothing could be farther from the truth. It will be anything but that. Blessed, that is, happy are those who are called to the marriage banquet of the Lamb. Those called will have the greatest time in eternity. The bud of faith's joy here in earthly life will blossom into unparalleled bliss. All frustration will be gone, sadness will cease, joy and laughter will abound there in that realm of peace. As for the menu, that's harder to say. Not much is revealed about the future dietary needs we might have or the supplies that will be given. On Maundy Thursday, Jesus did tell his disciples, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. It seems safe to assert at the very least, though, that the many blessings of nature which we enjoy now will be available in even richer abundance. Regardless, therefore, of our level of involvement at ILC's banquet this weekend or of other such events, perhaps they can serve us best when they remind us of that great event very soon to take place. It's the great result of having faith in Jesus as our Savior. May the Spirit ever make us the answer to the question, whom is Jesus taking to the banquet? May he grant us a place through simple faith in him at that heavenly table, so that we, as that very old liturgical prayer states, may eat of that eternal manna and drink from the river of his pleasure forevermore. A glimpse of that glory is presented in the hymn for this morning, hymn 656, the first two stanzas, hymn 656, 1 and 2.